Good morning. Well, obviously, I'm not Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed has an infection, and it led to laryngitis. So we need to be praying for him. And actually, he asked Daryl to give this message. So I'm second choice, but Daryl didn't have a Hawaiian shirt. So I was chose secondarily to do this. So for that, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless these words of Pastor Ed and the meditation of our hearts. So how many of you remember Oliver and Hardy? I remember them. They were funny. And in one episode, Stan and Ollie were Christmas tree salesmen. So in the olden days, they didn't have Christmas tree lots that you would go to get your Christmas trees. They would have men in trucks. In this case, it's an old Model T, where they would go around the neighborhoods and knock door to door and sell the trees. And so they would come to you. Well, in this case, everything was going great. They were going through the neighborhoods, spreading cheer and joy. They were handing out the trees and making everybody's Christmas bright. But then they came to one house, and the guy was the Grinch personified. And they knocked on his door, and he opened it. And when they tried to present the tree to him, he slammed the door shut. The only problem was they caught the bough of the tree when they slammed the door. So they had to ring the doorbell again, and the man opened it, now even more irritated. So then they got the bough of the tree out from behind the door jamb. And as he's turned, the guy slammed the door, and it caught his coat. So now he's got to ring the doorbell again. And now the guy, this goes back and forth about five or six times until all chaos breaks loose. So with that, the pastor gave us a video to watch that shows what happened after that. So I got the chance to watch that video before I read his text, and so I was a little confused, because although it's funny, I was trying to figure out, Pastor, what are you trying to tell us about this video? So when I read through Isaiah, though, it became really, really clear, because at the time that Isaiah was prophesying this, basically the rule of King David was over, Jerusalem had been plundered, it was not at the same glory, and it basically was in calamity. And so basically this video, as we think about the destruction and the calamity that was going on in the state of Israel, think about the calamity that took place in that video. And then it kind of made more sense to me as to why, even though it's funny, why he chose that. So when Isaiah the prophet wrote the words in the Old Testament lesson, it was 700 years before the birth of Christ. The Jewish nation had been fighting for 80 years against the Assyrians. 80 years, almost three generations that they were in war. It had become a near Holocaust for the Jews. One commentary put it this way: the Assyrian army stampeded through the hill and the countryside of Israel, working terror and destruction everywhere that it went. The horrid sounds of war were ever familiar. The cries of pain seldom ceased. Who could plant a field and have any hope that it would survive the harvest? Who could bear a child with confidence that it would reach maturity? War is a terrible thing. And in a radio interview with a Nazi concentration camp survivor, Greta Weissman recalled an episode one spring when she and her fellow concentration inmates stood for roll call for hours and hours upon end, nearly collapsing with hunger and fatigue. She said, "We noticed in the corner of this bleak, horrid, gray place, the concrete had broken in a corner and a flower had poked its head up through it. You could see thousands of feet shuffle every morning to avoid stepping on that flower. That tiny flower poking its head through the concrete represented hope and beauty to the women of that concentration camp." Today's words from the prophet Isaiah were some of the most beautiful in Scripture. Dave read them for us this morning in complete text, but some of them I want to read to you now, some of the excerpts from them. They speak about hope and about peace. You can find Isaiah 11, 1 through 9 on page 491 of the Bible in your pew. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a child will leave them. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." This is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. This is where the world is headed. The birth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the beginning and the unfolding of a grand and glorious invasion of divine love. A beachhead has been established. The seed of the kingdom of peace and love has been planted. Within 30 years, this tiny infant will overcome all hostile forces of man and Satan, and will, upon his second advent, set upon a kingdom of glory and righteousness and love. It took faith to believe Isaiah's prophecy. All around him, things appeared desolate, and the height of Israel's power under King David was but a distant memory. Isaiah says that it's like a stump left in the forest after a great tree falls, as it has been cut down. But Isaiah says a shoot will appear, a new tree will emerge and bear much fruit. We are here this morning amongst all the decorations with a festive spirit, especially after last night's Advent. That was great. And precisely because we've come to see that shoot from the stump, we've come to see Jesus Christ, the Messiah, emerging from the ruins of ancient Israel. He's become for us Savior and Lord. He is King of Kings, and our hope for the time of eternity rests on Him. Where else can we look? I see no other foundation for hope in this world. Economic systems crumble. Governments rise and fall. Only God's truth marches on through the ages. I'm not a connoisseur of great art, but I was taken by a painting of an old burned-out mountain shack from the fire in Paradise. All that remained was a chimney. The charred debris on what had been the family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old grandfatherly-looking man, dressed only in his underwear with a small boy clutched in a pair of patched overalls. The child was crying. Beneath the painting, there were the words the old man to the boy. Simple words, yet they summed up his profound theology and all that we celebrate this season. The words, "Hush, little child, God ain't dead." So I was trying to think about, in my personal life, what is it? What was that little piece of flower, or what was that thing in my life that has given me the glimmer of what Christ's hope is for us and what is to come? So actually it comes from Emmanuel, and it comes from one of the children of our church. And what he did last Easter was, after the children's message, he offered to me this cross. This cross has been held in my pocket every day since then. And what it has done is, every time that I falter as a man, it gives me that little blossom that's showing up and shows me of Christ's health for me, my help that gets into my soul to make me healthier and stronger, and gives me purpose, and also centers my life on what Christ has given to us. In these days of holiday cheer, at a time when we're all supposed to be right with the world, we find some among us feeling pretty much gutted out. Maybe for you it's a lifetime struggle with addiction and it's not over yet. Some of you lost your job this last week. We have those in our congregation nearing death's doorstep. Others are fighting to manage a household that is almost unmanageable. But wherever we are in our lives today, we see again a baby crying out from a manger, informing us that God's opinion that life should go on. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Children understand this far better than we do. I still remember my children young, what hope they had at Christmas time. They loved to ask for things, silly things, expensive things, cheap things, ridiculous things, safe bet things, and never in a million years things. What I'm saying is that our children are never afraid to ask for more. Asking for more, that's the theme of this Advent season. For Isaiah was first and foremost a dream to read the reestablishment of the Promised Land. Maybe all the people could envision was another king like David who would rule over them. But Isaiah's prophecy refused to think so small. He would remind them that before David was ever conceived, before a Promised Land was ever offered to the public, God had already made paradise, the Garden of Eden. It was perfect, and at its paradise restored, that is envisioned here. Isaiah is telling his people to ask for something more. He's asking that a new ruler enter our hearts today, a new ruler who will usher in a new creation, a world in which the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. It's a world none dreamed of. They dared not ask for this end-time recreation and revolution where they will not hurt or destroy on my homely mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Who had thought to ask for such a thing? And yet, this is what God had to give. Yet, like our kids wandering through the mall in late November, Israel too had to wait. The world had to wait for what Isaiah wrote about in chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will come and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. They waited drop by drop, inch by inch, prophet by prophet, in preparation as God's people for God's world, for the transformation moment. The end was full. When Joseph knocked, his wife was already in labor. There was no room for compassion until the barn was offered. The child was born, and the pattern exchange has changed forever. The cosmos shaken with that silent explosion. After centuries of waiting, after almost countless generations had passed, there finally came that moment when all that was needed was one last addition. Just one more baby. Just one more poor, insignificant shoot from that tree stump of Jesse. It happened in Bethlehem in a simple stable, in the quiet, in the dark. But when that final divine addition fell upon the earth, everything was changed. All Israel wanted was one more king. Instead, what it got was a world that was an incarnation. God suddenly and personally and relationally in our midst. All Judea, Israel, desired was to reestablish their national identity and borders. Instead, all creation was offered the promise of universal peace, a world without barriers and borders, an existence from all enemies and strife. A young 4-year-old girl had a terrific Christmas. She got everything that she wanted and more. And she turned to her mother and said, "I hope Mary and Joseph have another baby next year." That's the spirit of Advent. And that's what the pastor is trying to impart upon us. Ask for more. Ask for everything. Then ask to have it this year and again next year. May you ever remember God gives us more than we could ever expect. Not a God that is above us, not a God that is below us, not a God beside us, but a God among us, a God with us, and a God within us. God as one of us. Now, who would have thought to have asked for that? Amen. All right, now let's stand and join me in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, it is born anew in our hearts. We thank you for this Advent season of preparation. We thank you, too, that we know what lies on the other side of Christmas. A Christ who has borne our sins and carried our sorrows. We praise you for the adoption as your children who will live with you forever. We know we can come to you always in prayer and to ask for more. More faith, more assurance, more opportunities to witness to your glorious name. Today we look over all who are traveling, all that may be in harm's way, and ask you to look over those listed in our bulletin who are ill or recovering or homebound in need of support. Especially be with Reverend John Hauke, who has just learned that his ministry at Bethesda Homes has been terminated, that you might give him quickly another avenue in which to serve you and provide for his family. Pastor Ed, we ask that you would gain in his healing and his return back to us. And whatever other prayer requests we have, Lord, we bring them to you now.
Amen.